You're so great, Lord. You're so great, Lord. You are so great, Lord. Just spend a moment quietly honoring Him. Thank Him. Just thank Him for loving you. Thank Him. Hallelujah. God's working. God's doing things in people's lives. He's changing hearts. How great you are. You know, right at this time, if there's any pressing need in your life that you're having trouble with, anything that is pulling you down, pressures or whatever it may be, would you just hand it over to Jesus? Would you say, Lord, I've been trying to handle this in my strength and I can't do it, but because you're so great, Lord, can I hand it over to you? Can I give it over and let you take care of it? God, I'm so sorry I've ignored you in this situation. Please take it, Lord. Take the pressure, but take my life. I want to surrender it to you now. Afresh. Be my God in everything. Let me know your greatness beyond anything that I have the capacity to do. I can only work as you work through me, Lord. You are great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How great you are. Jesus. Bless God. Just before all the young ones go out, God reminded me of something we did just before Christmas. We sung a song for the kids. Do you remember what it was, anyone? Kids learn a song, or we sung it here. If you're gonna run the race and win, you got to know where to begin. And we went through the books of the Bible. You need to learn about the Lord. Start by reading His Word. Reading His Word. Genesis and Exodus. And we went right through to Jude and Revelation. Kids, did any of you learn the books of the Bible? Has anyone gone through the books of the Bible? No. You know, we are going to learn the books of the Bible, kids. I told you there'd be a prize for anyone who could go through it. I'm serious. I want to bless you kids with something. If you will come tell me, I know my books of my Bible and run through it, I want to give you a great big blessing of a gift of some sort. So I believe God's put it on my heart for you to learn to know. Not just the books, but what's in the books too. First, we know where they are. But God is so great. He is so great. He's amazing. And He's given us a picture of His goodness and His greatness in His Word. He's told us of His mercy and His love and His compassion. He's told us of His generosity and the peace that He provides that passes our understanding. And you know, today we've sung that song, How Great You Are, Lord. I believe God wants us to know His greatness. God wants us to know His goodness. God wants us to know His love. God wants us to know His compassion for us. And He wants us to know how much He values us. To the point He valued us. For God so loved the world, just as Matt said, He gave His Son. God said, these people are too important for me to lose. I want to redeem them to myself. What price will it take? And the only price it would take was the life of his son on the cross, pouring out his blood to pay for the cost that we had put on this planet of sin and everything that ignored God. And that blood was the only value God put on it that could redeem us back to himself. Amen. He's a great God. He's an awesome God. How great he is. Okay, you can go out now with the kids. How's that? You have fun out there then, won't you? You know, it's quite incredible how God works. Orchestrates things, and I'm really totally overwhelmed at the moment with the way God has just led us today. How great you are, Lord! How great your love is. God had given me a word that I just don't know where to take it to at the moment, but it's so in line, and I've called it the whole man. Quite often we put a lot of attention on certain things in our lives that I think we focus on what's visible, what's seen, what's obvious. But God is fully intent on our inner self. The Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. What God did at the cross, and what God has done for us is to provide for us completely. Our whole man is us, spirit, soul, and body. You know, and the trouble is with our human concept and perspective of things is that we see everything just through these natural eyes. Unless we have surrendered our heart to God to see things through spiritual eyes. And when we look at things purely in the natural, unfortunately, that dominates. That totally clouds us over with thinking that is not the thinking that God wants us to have. It envelops us in a form of reality that isn't really reality, if you know what I'm saying. Reality is not what we see here in this world. This world is temporal. The things above are eternal, amen? The things in God are eternal. And so many people spend so much time occupying themselves with temporal things because they think it's the solution to this, quote, current need or current situation. How great you are, Lord. How great your love is. And it goes beyond the needs and requirements of what we have here on planet Earth. Sure, God loves us and provides for us here. But he knows that we have other needs that are going to take us on into a permanent future and an eternity with him. And there are guidelines in the scripture for us to look beyond the natural life and the natural realm. One of them is in Ephesians. And if you take it in its King James version, it says, put off the former life or the old life. That in reference to your former way of life, you lay aside the old self or the old understanding or the old way we lived, which has been corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. You know, sin's so deceitful. It tells us that we're going to have pleasure and enjoyment and fulfillment, but it's not. It's corrupted. It's corrupted. And the Bible says, hey, don't get caught up in that being the answer to your need and the answer to your life situations and problems. It's a corrupted format. It's a corrupted way of thinking. Put it aside. Get rid of it. Lay aside that former way of thinking or that former lifestyle. It's corrupted. Be renewed where? Not just in the thinking of our head. You can't do a study course on thinking about changing it. It's an internal change that only God can bring about. How great you are, Lord. How great you are. How great your love is. Because God takes the inner man and changes it and renews it. And our submission to that, or our yielding to that, is what changes the outer conduct and behavior and persona of our lives. I can't in any way, shape, or form discipline myself to be what God wants me to be without Him on the inside. And people try and do that with religion. That's where religion comes into it. Religion is a man-made form to try and perfect yourself into some idealism that they think is going to appease or please some form of a God. And it's not the God of heaven. The God of heaven is the one who comes in and says, I'll change your heart. And I'll put my spirit within you. And I'll cause you to walk in my ways. It doesn't say I'm going to force you to walk in my ways. He said, I'll cause you to. There's a difference. And he comes along and he says, I'll change you from the inner man so that the outer man begins to reflect the inner man's glory. It's a difference. And we have to actually consider that and realize that and take it on ourselves to say, hey, that's my old nature. That's my new nature. Which one will I walk in or adopt or live in? Because so often the old nature sticks its head up and says, hey, here I am. Aren't I beautiful? Ah, the old lifestyle. Ah, remember the pleasures we had down at the pub? Remember the pleasures we had in this form of life? Remember the pleasures we had doing this and doing that and doing the other? But the new nature over here says, hey, wait a minute, we've been born again. And you've got this warfare going on that says, will I go this way? Will I go that way? And we have to surrender our heart, thinking, and lives to the new nature. You know, this old body doesn't want to conform. It doesn't want to. It wants its own way. This former self, this former lifestyle. And the Bible tells us, and Paul explained it, that there's a battle going on between the old man and the new man, the old nature and the new nature. And the old nature still wants to say, hey, come along, we're going to do this. And the new one says, but we've been born again. And the old one says, well, we'll see about that. And the new one says, but we really are born again. God's in our life. We can't do that. It's not a godly way of living. And there's this warfare and battle going on. And this is what the Bible talks about, being an overcomer in Christ Jesus, so that the old nature is done exactly what this says, that we put it off, that we give it away, that we count it as nothing, that we discard it. So it no longer has a hold on me. It no longer is the force that I'm driven by. It's no longer the life that I'm surrendering to, because my new life is in Christ Jesus. And how great God is. Why would I want to fall away into that corruption when this perfect, pure, holy, righteous God has drawn me to Himself? Put it off. Put on the new man. It's really interesting because that word put on, if you look it up in Greek, has a constant tense to it that is forever. It doesn't happen once. It's like when you get up every day, you have to go through a ritual. You actually have to showered and dressed, believe it or not. Are we supposed to? If we don't, we're in trouble. And you know, that's like putting on a new man. This is the best analogy I can come up with. You get up in the morning, you are not what you were yesterday. I don't care how tidy your hair was when you went to bed. it won't be the same in the morning. I don't care how tidy your clothes were when you went to bed, they will not be the same if you slept in them during the night, in the morning. So, and I don't care how good we smelled at night, unfortunately, this body has a way of changing. Don't ask me why it is and how it is, but it needs showering and cleaning, amen? And you know, spiritually, we are no different. We have to get up in the morning and we need to do the same thing in God. Father, I need you today. I need to put on my new man. I need to reestablish myself in God today. Because if I don't, if I ignore God, you know what? My day turns to disaster. I need God. I need him more than I've ever needed him. I need to put on my new man. And you know something? Things go wrong during the day. Things happen that I'm not happy with. What happens? Does my new man stand up and rejoice and say, well, isn't that wonderful? No, my old man decides to get out of his coffin and have a go. And I've got to keep pushing him down. He's there for some reason. He's still part of me. It's still me. I have to re-put on my new man. I need to readdress the situation and redress myself in God's clothing of righteousness. Because it says to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. You know, righteousness is our right standing with God. And I have got that. I have no problems with that. God created me in his image. When I surrendered to him and gave my life to him, he gave me his righteousness. He took my sin, he took my filth, he took my old nature, and he gave me his righteousness. But do I walk in it constantly? Does it have an outworking every moment of every day? Nah, I want my rights. That's what the Bill of Rights is all about, if you're not sure. When the government says, oh, you got a Bill of Rights, it's so that you can have the rights that you want, not the rights that God wants you to have. That's often the case. But okay, the government might say, oh, you've got a Bill of Rights to live how you want to live and to do this and to do that. But God's rights are a different standard, amen? God's righteousness is what he wants us clothed in. And that new man needs to be clothed in his righteousness and in true holiness. Not an appearance that looks holy, not an appearance that looks right to man or in man's eyes, but that looks and is right in God's sight. Amen? And I tell you what, I don't know how many times a day I have to put that back on. I really don't count them, because I know that the old nature is always there challenging my new man. My old nature constantly challenges me in my life with Christ. And I have to keep it there under control and kill it off constantly. Paul said, I die daily. I die several times daily. I've got to. I think, oh Lord, I'm so sorry. And I feel embarrassed. I have to come before God so many times and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. That action wasn't right. That attitude wasn't right. Father, I'm sorry. And you know, if you've got a repentant heart, it makes life so much easier in God to continue walking with his life, permeating your being. There are things that challenge that. God gives us that capacity because he wants us to walk in his wisdom. And if we begin to understand God's word and understand his wisdom for our life, it actually keeps us. And wisdom, the Bible tells us, rests in the heart of man of understanding. God wants us to understand his love for us in a way that is so powerfully impregnated in our lives that we can't live without it. He wants us to have an understanding beyond this natural thinking head up here. Beyond this natural up here. As Paul said in the New Testament, that you might know the love of God which surpasses all understanding and natural knowledge. That you might be filled with the fullness of God. Not just have a head knowledge of God. Amen? And his fullness is important because it permeates us. And it says in this scripture here, which is interesting, but it makes itself known even in the midst of fools. You know, wisdom is interesting. You can be foolish But wisdom is making itself known because it's saying what you shouldn't be doing. It's showing you that there's a wise way and a foolish way. And quite often people that operate foolishly wonder why things begin to go wrong. But if they will sit back and take a look, they'll realize their dumb ways have caused dumb circumstances and dumb results. But it's there. It's been seen. We need to walk the way God wants us to walk. I talked about the Bill of Rights. A quote, it's really a bill of righteousness that people are allowed to live in. And if a government is a godly government, they will put in righteous laws and righteous standards for people to live by. They don't, unfortunately. They listen to the pressures of the minorities and this group and that group. So they give people bills of rights that say, well, you want your rights to do this and you want your rights to do that and you want your rights to do something else. But is it God's rights? No. No. Righteousness in the sense, in that ultimate sense, will exalt a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. And you wonder why the world today is a world of reproach on God. Because people are bringing in, quote, selfish or self-centered rights that do not exalt their nation, that do not exalt their lifestyle. But God has called his people to be a people who declare him, to declare his life, to declare his love, and to set a standard. And the Bible does say that when the enemy comes in like a flood, I will lift a standard against him. And we have to be prepared to know how great our God is, to know his love, to know his passion for us. And it doesn't matter what laws go. You know, back in the Bible times, in the book of Acts, where it says, we command you not to preach anymore in this name. And they just said, well, you judge whether we should obey man or God. They were fixed in their heart, fixed in their spirits on this greatness and work of God that had happened in their lives that they could in no way, shape or form deny it. Didn't intend to go all down that track. That's interesting, but God wants us there for some reason. Bless his name. Stay here for a moment. I believe God wants us to just know his goodness and his greatness beyond any form of natural wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I just feel restrained in taking that any further on what I prepared and what I had in my heart. I feel more to stick to how great you are, Lord. How great you are, Lord. And I would encourage you to go through the scriptures, and especially the Psalms that exalt God, and the Proverbs that talk about the wisdom of God, and go through those aspects of how God's life can permeate our lives in a way that brings the benefits of God's provision to us. And like I said, there are things that want to get in the way. There are things that want to hold us back. There are things that want to fight us. And we are in a battle. We are in a warfare. But we must come to a point where we make a determined quality decision to say, it's not God's way. Is it my way? Then we turn around and reject it. How great you are, Lord. If God is so great, God is so mighty and so powerful in our heart, in our mind, in our thinking, if we get that as a preeminence in our life, if that's the foremost thought that we have, if that's the thing that fills our heart the most, firstly and foremostly, everything that challenges us, we will put in the right place, we will put before God. And if we don't and try to take it on ourselves, obviously it'll never work. And it won't. I mean, most of us have done things that we think, oh, this is the best way to do it. And it doesn't. And we come before God and give it to him. We need to challenge ourselves constantly. Is God great in my life? Is God supreme? Is God there for me in every way? Am I allowing him to be there? What's preventing it? What's stopping it? This is where the wisdom that God gives comes in, because we see things from the perspective that we should see them. We see a spiritual thing going on, not just a physical thing. The things that are going on behind the scenes we don't know about are the things we need to be aware of, and that's where we need to stand in the righteousness and the authority of God that he's given us. Amen? Otherwise, we take things in the natural and it doesn't work. In Acts chapter 7, and I won't go into it too much, but Stephen's was out there preaching at this particular time. Stephen was a dynamo. I don't know if you've ever read that, but that's probably the greatest Bible study expose that I've ever seen of the Old Testament, from the whole of the book of Acts or anywhere. He preached about all the things that went on in the Bible and showed how it referred and related to the Lord Jesus over and over and over and over and over. And in the end, he said these words, "I see heavens open and the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Father." And they actually got so cranky with him when he said that, they stoned him. But the thing was, through all of that, he was explaining and expounding the word that pointed to the Lord Jesus and how great God is and how the plan of salvation was outworking. But they couldn't handle the one thing: Jesus Christ being Lord of all. Jesus Christ being on the throne. And so many times people have an understanding of things, or they see things outworking, but Jesus Christ is not seen on the throne. How great you are, Lord. How great you are. Sorry, Matt, I've probably given you notes and stuff that are going right off, but this is not where God wanted us to go today. I just believe we've had to major on getting our hearts fixed on how great God is. Amen? I really believe that. Father, I thank you today that you've revealed yourself in your greatness. Thank you, Lord God, for your agenda over and above our own. I thank you, Lord God, for your word that is so sure and true and steadfast. And thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your greatness that excels and exceeds in every situation. And I pray, Father God, that you'll open our eyes even further to all the things that you have given us, for the provision of your covenant, for the goodness, the way that you're constantly wanting to reveal yourself to us in more powerful and dynamic ways. And today, Lord God, as we've sat here, as we've worshipped you, as we've declared your goodness, as we've declared your greatness, I stand against every opposition to that, Father, in our hearts and minds, in the name of Jesus. Father, I break down every barrier by faith in the name of Jesus. I pray today that every life here and every mind will be covered with your precious blood. Lord God, they'd be cleansed from old thinking and renewed with new thinking, Father God, that the old man would be put off and die, and that the new man would raise up in life in the name of Jesus Christ. That, Father God, there would be no conflict that cannot be taken by the name of Jesus and put aside, so that the new man would rise up and walk in newness of life. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, your greatness would be more manifest in all of us, in each one, in a new and a dynamic way, Father. I pray, Lord, that we would see you in a new light every day, that every day as we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, we see that garment as a new garment of refreshing and of life that brings us, draws us closer to you, Lord, in so many ways. It gives us greater wisdom and greater understanding of all the things that you've made available to us and provided in our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, we surrender afresh and acknowledge our dependency on you completely. We want to walk in your ways. We want to do the things that please you. But Lord God, we don't want to do them through ritual or through habit. We want to do them because we have put on a new man, which is created in righteousness, true holiness, declaring your goodness and your greatness in every way. Thank you for it. thank you for it in Jesus' name. We glorify you, Lord. And thank you for your wonder, for your patience, your love, for all the wonderful attributes that you declare and show to us in greatness. Amen. Amen. Whew. Wow.